The pet industry has a significant and detrimental impact on the environment. Over the past decade, plastic has been the most commonly used material for pet products, ranging from food packaging to pet toys. Plastic pollution has a range of environmental effects. First, it releases hazardous chemicals into the air, water, and soil. These chemicals can bioaccumulate in the ocean, posing threat to marine life. It's in the news every day. It takes a long time for plastic to decompose. It can remain in the environment for years or even centuries. The plastic then breaks into smaller particles and can block sunlight in the ocean, which in turn has an adverse effect on the food chain. Plastic products, pet products, non-recyclable, non-compostable packaging typically end up in landfills, further contributing to air and water pollution. So let's learn how the pet industry is finally, maybe, coming around a bit. I want to welcome today's guest, Tanya Hart. She is the founder and CEO of Titan Bioplastics and Augie Bones.
Hello, hello.
Hello. How are you? Lovely to see you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'm really excited to talk about bioplastics. It's such a confusing.
I know.
It's misinformation. It's weird words. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not. So I'm really excited to learn from you. So thank you for allowing me to do this. I think you're muted right now, Tanya.
I did because I just yelled at my husband and kid, a son, to move out from the door because I could hear their conversation. Sorry. Didn't want to have you hear me yelling.
I'm like, oh, she's moving her mouth, but I don't know what she's saying.
I like, get away from the door because you're home.
Okay, first, sorry. It's fine. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So first, let's start off with something real easy that I can handle.
Okay.
Tell me about Augie.
Augie, who's sitting right down there. We just came back from a walk.
Staffies are my favorite, and I have a soft spot for anyone that adopts Staffies, so.
Yeah, he's the best. He's 90 pounds of pure love bucket. He's we adopted him at 5 months old out of Texas. They had found him chained up outside backyard breeders on a long rope. He was the last of the litter in the blazing sun, covered in mange. And they rescued him and took him and got him all fixed up. And when he was a couple months later, when he was all better, you know, they posted him on Pet Finder. And my daughter and I, it was during COVID, and we really thought this was the perfect time to get a dog. So, you know, we were all home, you know, all four of us. Anyway, we saw him on there. We saw his story and we contacted Faith and Hope Rescue, who were fostering him. And they are like, he's an amazing, amazing dog. And, you know, we fell in love online and they shipped him out and he's been amazing ever since. But he was chewing, you know, I buy all the typical toys for dogs. You know, he's a tough chewer, 90 pounds of big jaws, big buffers. And, you know, he's chewing on all the Nyla bones and the Benny bones, which are fabulous products. You know, they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. But they're still nylon and plastic. So, you know, I turned to David Abacas as my business partner in Titan Bioplastics. And I go, we're material engineers, you know, we specialize in bioplastics. You know, can we make something that's, you know, non-toxic to him and other dogs and is also healthy for the environment? And we talked about it with the team and they said, yeah, we can do that. And so it's taken us, you know, better part of 8-9 months to kind of put it together. But we feel really comfortable and confident with what we've got. So it's exciting to release it to the public.
Wonderful. So tell me what Titan Bioplastic does. You're a consulting firm and you replace petroleum products, petroleum-based plastics with bioplastic. So I'd like you to explain what it is that your company does for others or for industry, and then we're going to talk about petroleum versus bioplastics.
Well, so we're material engineers. And so you've got, you know, people behind the team. I'm not a material engineer. I'm not a scientist. I just pretend to be one on podcasts. But but my team is highly qualified and has decades of expertise in biodegradation, biopolymers, and they're formulation scientists. So basically, they're the recipe that bakes the cake. So if you look at the chain of command in materials, it starts with us, where we say, okay, we're going to create the recipe. Then it goes to a compound or a converter, and the converter turns that recipe into the pellet, right? They take a little of this pellet plastic and that bioplastic and that, you know, material, depending on how it needs to function, and they put it into a little pellet. And then it goes to the manufacturer, who melts it down into the injection mold, and then you have the product. So companies will come to us and they'll say, look, we need to make this material function, you know, we need to make this function like this, and it needs to have a top that can come off and on and squeeze, and those are called mechanical properties. And so we'll say, okay, we can do that, and we'll do it in a recycled plastic or a plant-based bioplastic. And so that's typically what we do. We help companies work in their existing manufacturing realm, and they can come to us and say, we don't want to just buy virgin plastics anymore, because the whole point is to reduce and stop the use of virgin and start using things over and over again that we've already used, so that we're not dragging more plastic into the environment. And so we can help convert their current materials using recycled plastics instead in their existing equipment. Or we can help them create a bioplastic or a plant-based material instead, and have that work in their existing equipment. So we're here as a, yeah, consulting firm, but really as that extended engineering arm for companies that we can support their material needs in their current existing manufacturing.
Okay, so you set it up for what their needs are based on their products.
Yes.
What's the difference between petroleum-based plastics, recycled-based plastics, and then bioplastics? Which one's biodegradable versus compostable? Yeah, I have listened to tons of podcasts. I have listened to two books about plastics. I'm listening because as I'm doing things, running or
right. So,
and then, of course, I sit down and read and my brain starts to get fried. So help me out here. Tell me what
we always tell companies, look, you know, what does sustainability mean? And I think that the key to keep in mind is the core functionality around sustainable materials is validating their end of life. Meaning if the material can be recycled or biodegrade, and that's pretty much it. So if you have a material like a typical, you know, polymer material, and that material then goes into the recycle chain, and then you buy that recycled plastic pellet and put it back into the recycle chain, that's a recycled closed loop circular economy process. And that's what you really want to look for, is recycled plastics that are constantly going back into being recycled, or virgin plastics that then go into be recycled and used, you know, and in towards their sustainable goals and materials. If you're looking at a bioplastic, then it's the same thing. How does that end of life occur? So there are bioplastics that are very viable that use plant-based materials, but they may substitute other materials in there too. But they, as long as they can be recycled, or if they can be biodegrade in industrial composting, that's the validation of end of life. For Oggy Bones, you know, we have two types of composites, one that is completely compostable, where you can bury it in your backyard and it will biodegrade over time. Or we have a bioplastic that's a plant-based material that's majority plant-based, and it does have some synthetic biomaterials in it, and it will still biodegrade, but it can also be recycled. So again, it's really about those two core end functionalities. What is the end of life? It has to be recycled, or it has to biodegrade.
So there's a concept of time attached to your engineering process.
There's a concept of time, but it's really about how does that go into a circular process where it can be either used again or its end of life doesn't damage environment? And that's what sustainability really is, you know, Taz. It's about asking those two core questions and then how you drive your business and your materials towards that. There's nothing wrong with petroleum plastics as long as they are recycled and can be purchased again as another recycled product. Then you're closing a loop of circularity economy.
The prefix in the name bioplastic sounds so good. You want it to be awesome, but it's such a complicated industry that it's hard to understand if we as the end users are doing things right. Are we supposed to be composting this product, or are we supposed to be putting it in the recycling bin? How do we do things? And it becomes really a confusing process for the end user. And you know, it's up to the brands, the companies that are creating this to give us the information. And I don't feel like that's being done really well. How do you differentiate yourself with Augibone and Titan Plastics? Or should I just focus on Augibone here? How do you guys, do you supply that information to your consumers?
We do. We have a code on the back of our packaging that identifies how to dispose of it. And they can also scan the back of the packaging. It will take them to our website and it will give them guidance on how safety tips on the bones and then also how to dispose of the packaging. But for Augibones, you know, you can bury it in your backyard. It is a bioplastic. It is a biodegradable plant-based material. But it can also go to be recycled with other bioplastics, and it can go to industrial composting as well. So, you know, that's what we encourage. Now, you know, the system is growing, Taz, and it's infant still. You know, we have a recycling process in place, you know, nationally and globally, right? You know, there are more bioplastics coming into the marketplace. So you're going to see the system adapt around that. It has to. And it doesn't have to be a completely new facility. I think it's just going to be, you know, when they're sorting through materials, they now know that they can pick PET out and polypropylene out and polyethylene out, and they'll be able to pick bioplastics out. So that is starting to happen. There's a lot more education that needs to happen. The government is probably going to end up working with a lot of these very large companies to establish, you know, how they're going to not only enforce some of the mandates, the global UN mandates and 25% recycled plastic by 2025, but also how they're going to support that end of life use of the materials. Because we're currently at about 28% recycled post-consumer recyclate that we're recycling. We have to get that number way up, right? So bioplastics and recycled plastics are where everything is heading. I hope I didn't over. I think I've probably over answered your question, but
no, you didn't actually. Thank you. We're heading there, and we were talking about, you know, people are still using plastic straws.
Yeah,
people are still using plastic straws. How are we not connecting our actions to, anyway? This is that's a dumb question that I can't even have. Not going to ask.
Well, you know, I think it's just a process. It's happening slowly but surely, right? I mean, our state doesn't. You know, California is adamant about it. You know, some states do, some states don't.
Right.
You know, progress takes time. If you go to Europe, it's not a factor. They're usually about a couple of years ahead of us in terms of stuff like this. But I think we're getting there. And I think what's interesting is the first time in my lifetime that I've seen a movement really driven by the consumer, almost more than government or entities or you know, corporate, which is really kind of made it different. The demand by the consumer to take on more responsibility, not just for the environment, but also for themselves with microplastics and everything we're hearing about what gets into our system, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that's going to force a lot more change as well, the direction, the demand by the consumer.
I was looking at the pet industry and how much plastic the pet industry uses, how much plastic pollution derived from the pet industry. And I got a number of 10 million tons of plastic pollution are generated yearly by the pet industry, from packaging to toys. That's scary. How is your company able to help the pet industry get to the next stage? And is your process applicable to packaging, you know, the lining for the dry food products? That's a place that it's constantly, products are constantly being thrown into the garbage.
Right, because they're blended with aluminum and plastic and you can't separate that. I think companies are aware. I mean, big companies are aware that has to change. We're part of that. You know, we're working alongside some of these companies who are saying to us, look, we're not going to use aluminum anymore. We can't, because it can't be recycled. So, you know, how do we replace those barrier films and coatings so that they're sustainable and also providing the oxygen moisture barrier that they require to protect the food inside? You know, I think that companies like ours are sort of right place, right time. We're not the only ones, but we're an independent versus most companies that have them internally. So we are working with companies and large companies in the pet industry who have come to us and said, we want to adapt this into recycle. We want to adapt that into a bioplastic. You know, can we make these mechanicals function the same way using these different types of materials? And we've been able to adapt a lot of that already. So we stand here to be a functional guide, if you will, and also more importantly, a solution. But I think that we need to give credit to a lot of these companies. I think they understand and they're driving towards this. I know it's hard to say that, but
I didn't mean to roll my eyes.
I don't want to, you know, we're not patting them on the back, but at the same time, I think that they recognize they have to do this. And so it's coming slowly, because you can't make changes overnight.
No, you can. You can. These companies, it's interesting. You said there is awareness. There's been awareness for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
However, they just drag it out as long as they can, because why invest?
Because it's expensive. Of course, it's going to be super expensive to change, which is why I think the important thing to remember is that you don't have to change your equipment. We can adapt versus change. Now,
but 10 years ago, that wasn't the case, was it?
No. But technology is changing so quickly. Right. And what's available, even since we started 4 or 5 years ago, we've seen tremendous changes in not just the acceptance and the willingness of companies to adapt and make these changes, however small or incremental, versus even 4 years ago, people wouldn't even speak to us. You know, now we really are making some strides. And that's why we thought, rather than constantly being there saying, here we are, you know, how can we help you? But why don't we lead by example? So Oggy Bones isn't just a brand for the sake of the brand, even though we feel it's an important piece of adding, you know, put your money where your mouth is kind of thing to the marketplace. But we're saying, look, we're leading by example. It's possible. We don't want to be the only one. We want you to come and join the category. Come in, join the party. Hang your bioplastic next to our, you know, bio-based. Hang your bio-based. So that we can start, say, looking at the bone section like this, going smaller for some of the, you know, harsher nylon and plastics, and the plant-based plastics going like this, you know, getting larger in that section. And it has to start somewhere. So hopefully we're, you know, showing it can be done.
Can you give me a little differentiation between rubber and plastics? I mean, I know rubber is a renewable, it's a natural resource, but we're running out of rubber, aren't we?
I can't really speak to rubber, except to say that it can be recycled, and it can be reused in a different format. It's a different type of polymer. And you know, I mean, like Kong, for instance, you know, we all know Kong, and Oggy loves Kongs. And what I do notice about the Kong, which I like, is that he can't tear it to pieces. So it's not about all rubber. It's all only about certain rubber, because I've seen him tear rubber pieces from a monthly subscription we had for a while and tear that to pieces. Right. So it's all about the right rubber. But I really can't speak to that in terms of whether how validating it is, except to say that it, as long as it's being recycled and not thrown away, that is what you always want to remember. You know, just make sure you're recycling. Put that thing, when it's done, into some place that it can be used again.
Okay, that's good information. Because sometimes I wonder, is this recyclable? You can Google it.
It should be.
What does Augibone offer? Tell me about the products that you're off that you offer.
Well, we're really passionate about the bone design. I'll let me show you one. That's possible.
Please do.
Excuse me, Augie.
Are you taking it away from him?
No, he's taking a nap. I'll move the camera if you want me to, and you can see him. But
I do.
So this is the design. It's unique, and it has a little curve, so they can put their paw on it and chew on it. This is pretty tough. This is a pretty tough chew. Yeah. It's flavored. So we have three sizes right now. We'll probably go to a fourth. We have three flavors. So you have three sizes, three flavors. And we've also done, so this, for instance, is the small one for nice small size. Dogs. And then we have these two that are, this is the medium, actually. We actually have a 9.5-inch size as well. So it's pretty big.
Yeah.
This is really quite small, but we've also done another composite, and this one's actually 100% compostable. And this composite is a little bit more soft. So it's flexible rubber for puppies and seniors. So we did a soft version and then a really tough version for the Oggies, and then a soft puppies and seniors as well. So we have 11 SKUs. Yeah, we have 11. So we have three sizes, three flavors, 4.5-inch, 7.5-inch, 9.5-inch. And then we're doing the puppy and seniors in two sizes. And it's turkey, cheese, bacon, and beef, the three flavors. And what we are going to be doing is we're going to work on some of this for fun times. We're going to start collectible, Augibone's collectibles. So for Pride, for instance, we're going to still be flavored beef, but we'll have a tie-dye theme running through the bones. And we'll have a limited supply for Pride Month. Of Augibones. So the shape and the size is going to stay the same, but we're going to have some fun with the bone over time and with Augie. You know, for 4th of July, we may do, you know, red, white, and blue. And we compound the flavor into the bone. So it's not just coated, it's all the way through.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, that way it doesn't matter really about the coloring. We'll work that out. I was talking to my scientist today, and I was telling him about this idea, and our whole marketing team loved it. And then he's like, Tanya, how am I gonna do the colors with the, he goes, don't worry, I've got an idea, we'll figure it out. So I'm excited.
Tell me about what the animal's digesting when they chew on that.
There's gonna be little flakes that come off like typical bones on tough chews. So they do scrape some of the bones, but it's non-toxic. There's no toxic materials in any of this. These are all plant-based materials.
And they stay from corn or other, are you using hemp?
There's some, yes. So it's PLA-based, but we've got a lot of other different materials in there to help the efficacy of the mechanical properties, meaning how it, you know, how it functions and how the dog chews on it. Mm-hmm. But it's majority plant-based. So it's really non-toxic. I mean, I have no qualms about feeding it to Augie at all. And if he swallows little flakes or pieces, they're going to digest and go straight through him. They won't be harmful.
What if they're swallowed? I mean, you want people to buy the right size bone. That's
right. Right.
Yeah. You
right. And no dog should be able to tear off any giant pieces. It's mm-hmm. going to come off in small little pieces that they're going to chew on. And Augie mostly just flakes those and it sits there making a mess, of course, you know, but like any bone, it's going to behave like most tough chew bones. If they swallow a little piece of it, that's not, you know, if Augie swallows a piece of a nylon, you know, like something nylon or plastic, I'm concerned about the remnants that are going through there. Most of it's going to go through, but it's still, over time, he's going to have some toxicity build up. That won't happen with an Augie bone. There's nothing in here that's toxic.
That's pretty incredible, because when you think about it, it's a plastic.
Yeah, it's a bioplastic, and it's a bio plant-based material. So, you know, there's nothing toxic. Most of the materials are FDA approved, I believe. Don't quote me on that one, but I'll double check. But for the show, I'll make sure we have that material. But I'm pretty sure most of these are FDA approved materials. I know a couple of them for sure are.
Okay, well, I would hope so. So where is the pet industry going with sustainability? I hate that word. I'm sorry, it's become such a buzz, and I don't trust it when it's said in this industry that I've been in for going on 19 years. Where are we going with that and the use of plastics? Can you tell me about your thoughts?
Well, when we were doing some of the research, we learned that the majority of pet parents are focused around sustainability. That's where they want to see, you know, their toys, their food. I mean, if you look at how we treat our dogs for food, it used to be we just bought any old dry food. I remember I was just blowing hair out of my face. I've got this huge pile of turkey and all these vegetables. When we first had Augie, and we're making all this fresh food. And then my husband's like, there's companies that do this, you know. And so then we started buying all the good, healthy food. And then it was really expensive. And so my point is, we spend a fortune in giving our dogs healthy food, but we don't always think about healthy, you know, toys. But when looking at some of the statistics, we learned that parents do care about sustainability, and the pet industry, for the first time, it was the number one characteristic that they felt strongly about in the last year, that they're coming out more vocally and talking about sustainability. And we've seen that, you know, switch as well, where now we're talking to companies, even from the pet industry. 2 years ago, they weren't doing anything. Now they're starting to switch over some. One of our customers is doing recycled plastic products, and they're doing, you know, bioplastics and plant-based materials as well. They weren't doing that 2 years ago. So you are seeing it changing. It's going to take time, but you are seeing it changing. But it is a priority to the consumer, to the pet parent. And I think companies are finally starting to listen.
Yeah, the pet industry, in my eyes, has always been about 10 years behind other industries in every way, whether it's in media and how they represent brands and education. They just are stuck. They are so old school. I think we need to get more women leaders in there.
Well, I'm always for that.
Me too, absolutely. You know, I'm kind of promoting.
Well, you know what they say about women, right? I said, you know what they say about women. We just get things done.
we do get things done. Absolutely. We do get things done. Tanya, what do you want to leave us with?
I guess I'd like to leave an open mind and thinking that, you know, we're really trying to raise a rising tide floating many boats. You know, we're here to support the industry, not preach at them. We're here to stand, you know, and provide opportunity for companies who may be going, I'd like to do that, I don't know how to start. And we can certainly do that. And we hope that Augie Bones becomes a cornerstone where people follow in our footsteps. We want the competition. We like the competition. We want to see that. That's the whole reason that we went into it. But I guess most importantly, at the end of the day, the bone itself is just what we think is an evolution that we hope starts that rolling tide. And we're excited to bring Augie Bones to the market. And I know Augie Bones is enjoying them. And, you know, we just really appreciate the opportunity to showcase this.
I love the product. And I'm just curious, are you looking at creating anything for the cat world?
We can. And that's the beauty. I mean, I think, again, Augie Bones is an example that we want to lead by example, but it isn't the only thing we can do. Augie Bones is just a formulation and a mold. We can adapt this formulation and pivot with multiple platforms for multiple products and multiple sides of the industry. You know, that's what material engineering does.
I can think of a couple of products on the cat side that could use your help.
I'm here for you, Taz.
Oh my goodness. All right. Thank you so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me. It's an honor and a privilege. And we're very excited to be in the pet industry. And we're super excited about Global Pet Expo. We're at booth number 738.
Booth number 738. If you guys are going to Global Pet Expo, everybody should.
Yes.
Yep. Go to booth number 738. Check out Augie Bone. Are you going to be there?
I am. I'm flying out Monday evening. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll stop by your booth. I'll be there.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I'm excited to meet in person.
Absolutely. I'll definitely stop by. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person.
Thanks, Taz. Thanks for having me. Bye.